the wavy image of a studio lot is shown. Then, a gold logo swirls onto the screen in front of a blue cloud-filled sky. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment company. A curved ribbon of blue cuts through a purple rectangle. Morgan Creek. In a graphic of city skyscrapers, one of the buildings glows blue, then stands alone. Franchise Pictures. On a graphic of a cloud, a person points a film camera at a sun, star, and moon. The Canton Company. The screen reads, "That's all we expect of man this side of the grave. His good is knowing he is bad." Robert Browning. We're behind a dark-haired man as he walks quickly down a crowded street at night, and a man with a beard is running from him. The dark-haired man breaks into a run as sweat pours down the face of the bearded man. Under the bright lights of Las Vegas, the bearded man bumps into a cart that sells drinks, then runs to the street and falls on the hood of a car. The dark-haired man grabs him.
Hello, Mr. Davis. My name is Jack Carter, and you don't want to know me.
Later, Carter punches him.
Jack, I know it's just one guy talking, but I'll be honest with you. I don't understand what the big frickin' deal is. I don't.
So I told Fletcher I was going to get him the money.
You shut up! I mean, give me a break, will you, Jack? In all honesty, you haven't seen the guy in, what, 4 or 5 years? He kicks, now all of a sudden you give a hoot? Who are you, Father Mulcahy? I'm so not buying this, it's not even funny, King Wasabi.
Davis is sitting.
He's my brother, Connie. He's my little brother, and he's dead. He left a wife and kid up there, so I'm going. I owe him that.
Let me get this straight. Now you owe him? Here's the bad news, sports fans. It's a little late.
Well, listen, the therapy session is good, you know, because you need it, but why don't I just, like, go somewhere? I'm going to talk to
Jack grabs him and pushes him back down.
You sit here, and you shut your mouth. Why, this is going to the next level. You got that?
Next level? What is that, a catchphrase or something?
Davis's face is bloody.
Catchphrase?
Carter hits him some more.
Jack, come on. Take it easy. You give yourself a filthy heart attack.
Khan punches Davis.
Now Fletcher wants your ass here. He's made that very clear to you. He wants you right here.
Later.
I'm like a broken freaking record, for God's sake. If you don't take care of business, the business will take care of you. The business will take care of you.
I'm taking care of business.
Whatever. What time's your flight, Jack?
Not flying.
Big pardon?
Not flying, Connie.
Uh-huh. So would you say you got a little something special working there? What are you carrying there, Jack? Huh? Knives, guns, flamethrowers? You got something you're not telling Conawana Dudade about?
Jack stops walking and looks at Connie through dark sunglasses.
I'm back in a couple of days.
He walks away.
Right. But, Jack?
Later, Jack walks down the aisle of a crowded passenger train. He's wearing a well-tailored suit and tie over his muscular build. He puts a bag in the overhead storage area, straightens his sleeves, and takes a seat near a window. He has a goatee and is still wearing the dark glasses. Get Carter. As he gazes out the window, he absently taps on the glass. Later, the train travels along a water's edge, and Jack's seat is empty. He's outside the car smoking a cigarette. Later, he lights another one. And then another. In a dining car, he's wiping off his silverware. He checks his watch. Back in his seat at night, he looks at his watch again. The train continues to speed along the track as he looks out the window. Later, in slow motion, he walks out of the Seattle train station into the rain. He gets into a rental car and starts it. Later, he's smoking a cigarette as his windshield wipers push away the heavy rain. He's wearing a pinky ring as he taps on the steering wheel. He continues to smoke as he drives through the rain. Later, he walks up the steps in the lobby of a fine hotel. In an elevator, he looks at a brochure he's been carrying. In his room, two guns are neatly laid out with a bottle of aspirin and other toiletries. Later, he's lying on the bed in a tank top undershirt with his hands behind his head. He stares at the ceiling. We move closer so that one of his brown eyes takes up the whole screen. His eye closes. Rain falls over a spray of white flowers that are sitting on top of a closed casket. People with umbrellas are walking toward it. Jack is standing further away under a tree. A woman with red hair sees him. She pulls her coat together and walks to him. He steps toward her.
What are you doing here?
I came to pay my respects.
He could have used your respect while he was still alive.
Jack frowns and looks around.
Is Doreen around?
Yeah, she's around.
He nods. As the woman walks back to the casket, she glances back at Jack, and he follows her.
I will lift up mine eyes, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee.
A teenage girl with a diamond stud in her nose walks away from the mourners.
Preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and even forevermore.
The rest of the mourners walk away, and Jack trails behind them. A man with earrings tries to light a cigarette, but his lighter won't work as Jack walks up and lights it for him.
How you doing? I'm Jack, Richie's brother.
I'm Eddie. I worked with him over at the George.
Eddie, let me ask you a question. Was my brother into something?
Richie, no, man. He wasn't that type of guy.
The girl with the pierced nose takes a drag from a cigarette as Jack walks up to her.
I'm very sorry about your father.
Don't feel sorry for me. You don't know me. You're a picture on a piano.
The girl walks to the red-haired woman. A woman with short dark hair shuts her umbrella near a silver sports car. Jack sees her and walks toward her.
Hold up a second, would you? I couldn't help noticing you. Sort of stand out in the crowd. I'm Jack, Richie's brother.
Oh. I'm real sorry. He was a great guy.
Yeah. So, where'd you know Richie from?
Around the bar. You know how it goes.
No. Why don't you tell me, how's it go?
I really don't know you well enough to get personal.
She gets in the car. As he walks away, he glances back at her. Later, at the red-haired woman's house.
Last time you saw him, when the accident did happen.
Days. I don't know, man. Maybe. I guess.
But you would know if something was off, right?
I don't know. I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Jack, that is enough. It's enough.
The girl with the pierced nose is looking out a rain-streaked window. She She gets up and walks out. Shortly after, Jack steps outside onto a porch. The girl is sitting on some steps.
What are you gonna do, rough me up?
He sits beside her and lights a cigarette. She's already smoking one.
I like to be alone.
Sure.
I'm fine, all right? I just came out for a smoke.
You know, Doreen, you don't know me very well, and what you do know, you don't seem to like very much. I don't want to be here over the weekend, so if you need anything at all, I'll be staying at the Mercer Hotel, okay?
He didn't drink, you know.
What?
My dad. He wouldn't drink and drive.
What do you think happened?
I don't know. Maybe... I don't know. Forget it. He's dead, right? What's the matter?
He looks down, then looks at her as she takes a drag from her cigarette.
My mom will be home later.
She walks down a sidewalk and out the front gate. Later, Jack is driving as he holds a cell phone to his ear.
What'd I tell you? Huh? What'd I say?
Which part of I can't let you go did you not understand?
Jack, this is your job. This is not a charity case. You do your job. Now, I want your butt down here tomorrow. I am the boss, Jack. Okay, got me?
A blonde woman is with the boss. Later.
I can't believe you guys kept this cat. Richie and I, we used to hide stuff from our mom underneath all the cookies. I'm pretty sure she knew, but I don't think she really cared.
Jack takes a cookie from a cat-shaped cookie jar. He's with the red-haired woman.
Are you two guys okay?
What?
Well, I mean, you and Richie... I mean, before the accident, were you two... getting along okay?
What kind of question is that?
She sits at a kitchen table, and Jack sits with her.
Was he drinking a lot, Mom? More than normal?
What? Jack.
No, it's just that Eddie said he didn't see him drink much, and Doreen said he wouldn't drink and drive, so I'm just wondering.
Oh, Jack, what are you doing?
She opens a beer.
What?
Why do you care all of a sudden? Because he's dead? Where were you when he was alive?
She takes a sip.
He was your brother. He disappeared on him, and now he's gone. So what am I supposed to do? Take a trip down memory lane with you? Catch you up on how he's doing? What do you think you're gonna do? Come in here and fix things? You don't fix things, Jack. You break things. Remember?
Later, Jack is in the car with his cell phone.
Hello, it's Connie.
That's me.
Jack, what do you say, Jack?
Really nice of you to call. Fletcher just ripped me a new air hole.
You on your way back, son?
No, I'm still a little while.
Oh, come on. Look, who do you think's taking the heat for you down here? We're partners. Look it up. It'll say if you're screwed, I'm screwed. Now he wants you here. What do you need, a written invitation?
I got some things to do.
Okay, Jack. Here's the truth as I know it. I don't know how much longer I can cover your ass.
Are we going to see Fletcher or what?
Absolutely. We are flying in. We are there.
Guy, you've got something to say. What do you want to say?
It's time for you to sit down and chop it up with the big dog. Am I stuttering? Because I'm hearing talk, Jack. People are talking. About you. And Audrey. And I don't know how much longer I keep that talk from him.
If they're hearing something, they must be hearing it from you. Am I right?
Oh, you simple bitch. I'm covering your ass. Do you hear me? I'm covering your ass.
You better cover your own ass.
Jack pulls up to a bar called The George. Inside, he walks down a set of stairs and approaches a bartender.
Which way is Brumby's office?
The bartender points.
No, you listen. I don't want to hear you can't find it.
Brumby's on the phone.
This was supposed to be done. A guy died the other night.
Jack walks in.
Can you hold on a second? Can I help you with something?
I'm Jack Carter, Richie's brother.
I'll pull you up there. Jeez. I'm sorry I wasn't at the funeral. I never could take him.
Jack nods.
Would you like some coffee or something?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
He was a good bloke, Richie was. Saved my ass a lot of money just by doing a solid job.
He looks at a photo of Doreen on Richie's desk.
So how long was he running this place for you?
Well, since we've been up. About 5 years.
5 years and no problems?
None.
More photos are tacked to the wall.
No enemies?
Well, not that I know of. I mean, he was an easygoing sort of bloke.
So does he seem like the kind of guy that would get dead drunk and go out driving in a rainstorm?
Not to me.
Me either.
Jack sits in front of Brumby's desk, and Brumby sits with a cup of coffee.
Where is this going?
I think he was taken out.
Taken out? Richie? Why would you say that?
There's something you're not telling me, Cliff.
And what the bloody hell does that mean?
Just relax.
Listen, I don't like hard cases coming in here and talking to me like I know something. If there's someone out there putting out something about me, then I want to know who the hell it is. And when I know what it is and who's been saying it, I might just take the matter up with you, Jack. Mightn't I?
Jack looks at him calmly.
You're a big man. But you're out of shape with me. It's a full-time job, so please, sit down.
Brumby stiffens, but sits back down.
I noticed you got security cameras around the bar. Did the police ask to look at the tapes?
Why would they? It was drunk driving.
Mind if I do?
Shortly after, Brumby hands him a videotape as they walk.
That's got the whole night on it. Did you talk to Geraldine?
Who's Geraldine?
Oh, no. How am I going to put this? She was his lady on the side, his inamorata.
Jack stops walking and Brumby looks back at him.
You know this for sure.
What can I tell you? It wasn't a big thing. Not many people knew about it.
Later, Jack walks into a bar. He takes off his sunglasses and sees a man and woman on a staircase.
Cyrus.
He walks up to them and looks at the woman.
How you doing? Holy smoke.
She looks like the woman at the funeral, but with different hair.
Well, if it ain't the Vegas man, Vegas Dan.
She keeps her face turned away.
Geraldine, right?
She looks at Cyrus and walks up the stairs. Cyrus is wearing dark glasses, and Jack turns to him.
Been a long time.
Yeah, Jack's been a very long time. Listen, I heard about Richie, man. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
You got my deepest condolences and all.
I appreciate that.
They walk upstairs.
So, still running with Fletcher?
Why not? How are you making a living?
Well, I'm making.
With who?
With somebody. We don't care.
I don't care. I just want to know if you're still a bottom feeder.
Let me tell you something, Jack. See you live here. You see it? I'm online. These are my girls, my business. I hooked up with this freak and this foreign guy. Created my own little empire.
Geraldine is there.
Look at you. The little man versus the startup.
You got a problem with me?
Geraldine looks at Cyrus, then walks away.
Let me tell you something, Jack. I think you should take a very big moment. And just think about where you are. Because this ain't yesterday, Slick.
Relax, I'm just playing with you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
He starts to walk away and Jack grabs his shoulder.
Don't put your hands on me.
Come on, let me see your eyes.
Whatever turns you on, Jack.
Cyrus takes off his sunglasses.
Still pretty?
Yeah. Like cat piss in the snow. See you around.
Jack walks away. Outside, Cyrus has Geraldine by the arm. From around a corner, Jack watches them get into a black SUV. Shortly after, he gets in his car and follows them. He splashes through a puddle as they come to the end of an alley. They pull alongside traffic on the street. Later, the SUV drives around the curve of a mountain road, and Jack is still behind them. He watches the SUV stop at a security booth at the Cascadia Springs Golf and Country Club. A gate is lifted and the SUV drives through. The gate lowers and Jack pulls up. A security guard steps out of the booth.
Afternoon, sir. Are you a member?
I'm here with Mr. Franklin.
Jack holds up a $100 bill. Shortly after, he walks across a putting green and looks down a hill where Cyrus is talking with a man in a hat. Cyrus tosses a golf club, then walks away from the man. Jack turns away. Later, a red flag reads Cascadia Springs. A golf ball rolls across a green and Jack stops it with his foot.
Nice stroke.
The man with the hat looks at him and Jack kicks the ball into the hole.
I'm gonna go get security, all right?
As a fellow golfer goes for security, the man in the hat walks up to Jack.
Can I help you, sir?
I don't know.
Are you from the club? Is there a problem?
My brother died the other night and now I'm here.
Listen, Mr.
Carter.
Mr. Carter. I'm real sorry about your brother. That sucks, but...
Jeremy, what's up?
I can't help you here.
I think we should go someplace and talk.
Hey, listen, scary man.
I scare you?
Okay, whatever this is, it isn't going over real well. So...
Look, I'll tell you what. Why don't you drive me back to my car? We can talk on the way. Is that a problem?
Yeah, it is a problem.
No, it's a problem if you don't. Come on. It's okay. Come on.
He follows Jack.
So what's your name?
Jeremy Kinnear. Maybe you've read about me in Forbes.
No, I don't do that, Jeremy. So what are you telling me? Your buck's up?
Well, without blowing the proverbial horn, my computer company's worth about a gazillion dollars, give or take.
Folks must be very proud.
I paid off my student loans, bought them a house in France. They leave me alone.
They walk to a custom golf cart that looks like a Humvee, and Jeremy drives.
I think we got a mutual acquaintance, Jeremy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Cyrus Pace.
Yeah, I know him. Try not to spend too much time around him, though.
What's the connection, Jeremy? I don't see it.
Jeremy smiles.
You know, Mr. Carter, I really don't have to answer your question.
Jack grabs the wheel and they stop.
Sure you do, Jeremy.
Jack lets go of the wheel.
What's the connection?
Jeremy keeps driving. He shakes his head and smiles.
Okay, Mr. Carter, fine. You know, when you spend most of your life stuck behind a computer, things like golf and girls become pretty important, you know? But they don't go real well with the glasses and pocket protector image my stockholders prefer. So
he pulls for you.
Shortly after, they drive over a small bridge. Later, Jeremy is smoking a cigarette while on a cell phone in an empty dining room.
He said his brother died the other night and now he's here. He's here. You get me? We are fried. No. You listen to me.
You asked me to get you online. I did that for you, fair trade. Then you start this porn thing. I just say, keep me clean, but you can't even do that. I don't even want to think what happens if he's already taken that thing to the police. And how do you get it anyway? You're supposed to go straight to the hard drive. You got that right, I'm freaking out. I'm a Harvard grad. I don't do porn. No. Shh.
He closes his eyes.
I don't want to know what happened the other night. I don't care. It's none of my business. I just want the big brother gone. And I don't mean gone like you've gone the other guy. I mean away. I want him away. I want you away. I want the whole thing done.
He hangs up. The lights of Seattle twinkle in the night. At his hotel, Jack dries his face at the bathroom sink. In Las Vegas, the blonde woman answers a phone.
Hello.
Where's the big bad wolf?
Out with the pigs, I guess. He wants you to come back and...
My God, listen, I was thinking that when I get back, you and me, we gotta get out of Vegas for good, you know.
Jack, I can't do this.
Do what?
You and me. Les Fletcher is my job. It's what I do.
She lies back on a bed.
You're something different.
Her blue bra shows through her half-open robe.
All right, fine. I'm something different. You ought to just get out of there with me or without me, but you ought to get out of there.
Hey, Audrey! Audrey!
I'm up here!
Jeff, down here.
Gotta go.
Yeah, that's good. Another time, another place, huh?
Yeah. Bye.
Jack hesitates, then hangs up. At night in the rain, he's driving with Richie's wife.
You know, I sometimes feel I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. Because I wake up in the morning and I look over at my little girl and I wonder when it was we became strangers.
Then they're walking in a park.
She's all I have now, Jack. And I want her back so bad, and I don't even know where she went. She won't talk to me. She won't yell at me.
She stops and looks at him.
Who are you?
What?
I mean, I'm just trying to make sense of this. Of you. You disappear off the face of the earth for like 5 years, and then you come back, and you... you come back... I don't know, you look like Frank Sinatra or something, and... I just can't figure you out.
You know, it's not that big a deal, Gloria. You know, everything changes, I said. Why not me? You know, I try to do something right. Once.
Yeah, what is that, though? What's right, Jack? You know, you're too late to be Rich's brother. Can't be Dorian's father. And you can't be my man. So I just don't know where you fit.
Maybe I know. Maybe I don't.
He takes her arm, and they keep walking.
I'm sorry.
Later, it's pouring when he pulls up to the Mercer Hotel. He opens the trunk of his car. In his room, he's polishing his shoes while watching the tape that Brumby gave him. Each of his arms has a tattoo of a ferocious cat on its hind legs. He rewinds the tape a bit, then stares at it as he watches Geraldine lean over the bar close to Richie. Richie leans over and kisses her as the camera zooms in. Later, he walks across the dance floor in a crowded bar.
Eddie! You know Geraldine?
What?
Geraldine, do you know where she lives?
I don't know, man.
The girl that hung around with Richie, do you know where she lives?
A girl? What?
Come on.
Shortly after, Eddie is in Jack's car.
So you know Doreen much?
A little. Hey, it's right up here on the left.
Jack pulls to the curb.
So, you done with me, man?
No, sit tight. I'll be right back.
Jack gets out. He walks into an apartment where Geraldine is drying her hair. She sees him in the mirror.
What was Richard to you?
You can't just break into my house.
What was he to you?
I told you. I met him at the bar. He was just a guy I met.
She turns to face him.
That's all.
That's all.
He steps closer to her and she stands.
He was nicer than most.
Did you know he was married?
He steps even closer, backing her against a wall.
Look.
Did you know that?
What do you want? I talked to him, okay? It's not a crime. I gotta be somewhere.
He puts his arm out to block her path.
I wanna know what happened.
She stares at the floor.
You don't wanna know.
Geraldine. Look at me.
He gently lifts her chin, and she looks at him.
Look at me. I didn't come up here to hurt you. I just want to know what happened.
Richie wanted me to leave with him. He and his wife weren't getting along so well. Hardly spoke, you know? They were going to get divorced. He wanted me to run away someplace like New York or something. I said I couldn't do that, you know. I got my own life here.
Yeah.
She hesitates, then slowly moves away from him.
So I went to the bar to say goodbye, and he followed me out. And he makes this big scene outside the bar. I hear he got pretty drunk.
Jack remembers the videotape.
Look, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
She staggers a bit, then starts to sit down, pauses, then sits unsteadily and draws her knees to her chest. Jack starts to walk out, stops, looks at her, then leaves. Later, a man gets out of a Volvo.
Keys are in it.
Jack pulls up behind it. A car behind him flashes its headlights, and Jack looks at it in his rearview mirror. He gets out of the car and walks to the one behind him. A man calls to him from the back seat.
Carter!
Two others sit in front.
Looks like the rain must have backed up the sewer.
How you been, man?
Still hanging around here, huh, Thorpe?
I like it here. I gotta have a word with you, all right? And, confidential.
Well, you just stay in the car. I'll listen. So what do you want to tell me?
Jack glances at the men in the front seat.
How you been, man? I mean, you look good.
Well, thank you. I'm losing sleep here, so what do you want?
Thorpe hands him something through the half-open window.
Here, take this. It's free.
Jack takes it.
Alaska Airlines, first class.
It's nice.
Jack smiles.
And who do I have to thank?
I've been asked to make sure you get on that plane. Tonight.
Whatever they're paying you, it ain't gonna be enough.
He lets the ticket drop to the street. The driver opens his door, and Jack smashes his head through the side window. He pulls the driver out, takes the gun from his hand, and points it at his head. The other man gets out and points a gun at Jack.
What do you want to do, boy? What do you want? Come on, cowboy. You want to get a rep? Come on. Take your best chance. Get a rep. Come on. Come on, shoot him.
Thorpe runs to the Volvo.
You got the stuff? You got the guts? Come on, you got the guts? Let's see you do it. Go on, shoot it down. Put it down.
There is no dishonor in avoiding confrontation. Dealing with an armed man, the best course of action is to run.
Jack gets in Thorpe's car as Thorpe drives away in the Volvo. Thorby speeds around a corner, then gets stuck behind traffic with Jack close behind.
Come on, come on.
They take a sharp left into an alley. Across the street at the end of the alley is a Christmas tree lot. Thorby speeds across the street, swerves around a car, and drives into the lot. He fishtails and hits two people. As he races through the lot, Christmas trees fly up around him. Jack speeds close behind. Thorby smashes through a tent with holiday decorations inside, and Jack follows him back onto the street. They weave in and out of traffic, sliding on the wet roads. Glances behind him, then moves around a car in front of him. Jack is close behind and has to swerve to avoid hitting the car. Thorby narrowly misses a tractor trailer, then drives around some large storage tanks. Jack pulls up and smashes into the rear of the Volvo's driver's side. Thorby looks behind him and Jack continues to smash into him. They drive into an area of thick smoke with no visibility. They come out of the smoke and Thorby speeds toward a chain link fence. He turns and smashes into a stack of barrels. The barrels fall onto the car and dump sand around it. Jack gets out of the car and walks toward the Volvo. Inside, Thorby puts his hand on his chest as he breathes heavily.
Fine!
The airbag inflates and Jack pulls him out.
Come on, Speedy, the ride's over.
You
wanted
the ticket because you used to hang around with my brother a little bit. I swear, I knew you wouldn't go for it.
Who sent you?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell me? Did you have something to do with my brother?
I had nothing to do with your brother, Richie.
Then give me a name or your history.
At the George, Jack walks past Eddie.
Brumby's in the back.
Jack walks to the back and pulls open a door. Brumby is walking down the hall carrying a case of scotch.
Carter?
So now you're a travel agent.
What?
That was a real nice touch sending Thorby, very nostalgic.
What the hell are you talking about?
You're not giving me anything here.
Jack, stop that. Stop it, for Pete's sake.
Jack is pointing a gun at him.
Look. I owed this bloke some money. He fronted a truckload last year to extend the club. He calls me this afternoon and says, you'll wipe the slate clean if I'll do this thing for him. He said he wanted you out of town. That's all. He didn't say how, just out of town. Your brother was my friend, Jack. I wouldn't hurt him.
Yeah. Give me a name, or this is going to another level.
Cyrus Pace.
Jack lifts the gun away and twirls it around his finger. Later, he smashes Cyrus into the side of a dumpster.
You want me up? Huh? You want me up?
You want to do this, huh?
You want to do this? Rabbit's out of the hat, Jack. Let's see if it jumps.
What'd you do to Richie?
Cyrus has a gun.
Damn you, I didn't do nothing. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're chasing your ass. You were gone too long. Your brother, your precious brother, Richie, was no damn saint. Everybody's into something, Jack. Plain and simple, all right? There's no mystery, no intrigue. He got juiced up one night. He got oiled up, and he wrapped his sorry ass around a tree. End of story. Now, if you want to do this little dance here for old time's sake, Jack, bring it.
He puts the gun in his waistband.
Let me tell you something, Jack. You're going to end up like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. I'm tired of your bull, Jack. I'm a businessman. I got ladies waiting for me on the inside. Grow up, Jack.
Cyrus walks away as Jack bends over and rubs his face. Jack is walking through the Mercer Hotel.
Uncle Jack.
He turns to Doreen.
I didn't think you were going to show up.
It's in the neighborhood, you know?
Listen, Doreen, I'm having one of those year-long nights. I don't know if I'd be that much fun to be around. Maybe we ought to take a rain check on this. Okay?
Okay.
Bye. Give me a call tomorrow.
They walk away from each other, and then Jack stops.
Doreen! You hungry?
Little.
Later, they're sitting at a counter in a diner.
So, what do you do, like, for work?
What'd your father tell you?
He didn't.
That's good.
Mom said you were a gambler.
Isn't that illegal?
Are you a bookie?
Bookie? No, more like, like a financial adjuster.
Doreen smiles as she eats. Later, she takes a sip from a coffee cup.
So, you ever been to prison?
He looks away.
For how long?
How about this weather?
Come on.
What do you say we change the subject?
You ever shoot anybody?
You want to know what I do for a living? Simple people make promises and they break them. My job's to refresh their memory. That's about it. No big deal.
What's with the clothes?
What's with the jewelry in your face?
You don't like it.
It's nice.
You ever been married?
I don't think so.
So you don't have a family of your own?
What are you?
She smiles. Later, Gloria is sitting at home in the dark.
Why'd you leave?
Well, Doreen, that's a long, long story.
It's a long, long ride.
Jack and Doreen are in the car.
Let's put it this way. Did you ever want to take every mirror in the world and get rid of it because you didn't like what was coming back at you?
Yeah.
He looks at her.
Wish my dad was here.
Me too.
They both watch the road ahead of them.
Do you really think somebody killed him?
Yeah, I think so, but...
Me too.
He looks at her again as she stares out the window. They pull up to her house and get out of the car.
So do you have a license yet?
Yep.
Oh, what did you learn that in school?
Dad taught me.
Oh, yeah?
As they walk toward the house, they see that the front door is slightly open.
Dorian, would you wait in the car?
Why?
It's all right.
Why?
Please wait in the car. I'll be right back. It's okay. It's okay.
Doreen walks toward the car as Jack goes up the front steps. Inside, the phone is off the hook, and a lamp is knocked over. Jack slowly walks through the door of the dark house. He ducks as shots are fired. He sees someone run up the stairs and starts to follow.
Jack! Hey.
You all right?
Just enduring.
What happened, huh?
I have no idea.
Who did it? Who did it?
I don't know. It came in.
Blood is running down Gloria's face. Later, police cars are parked out front. Inside, Jack sits next to Doreen at the bottom of a staircase.
You okay? All right. It's gonna be all right. Really?
Why'd they do this?
I don't know. I want to find out. You can believe that. Come on, let's go get your mom.
Where are we going?
Please, I want you to
you guys to stay with me tonight, okay?
A paramedic is putting a small bandage on Gloria's forehead as Jack walks up.
Gloria, why don't we get out of here?
As she stands, Jack tries to help her. She walks to Doreen.
I need to talk to your Uncle Jack.
Gloria and Jack walk away while Doreen listens.
I need you to leave, Jack.
What?
My mom's coming over. We're going to go over to her place tonight, and we're going to stay there. Listen, I know that you want to help. But just look around you, you know? Look what you brought into my house. Look at my face. But my family, you're not helping, Jack. So please go.
What do you mean? What did you say? I brought in. I didn't bring anything that is. Gloria, look, I just want to know the truth. What the hell was Richie into?
Oh, God.
She puts her hand on her forehead.
Okay.
Oh, my head hurts.
That's right, Gloria. Whatever this cost, I'll just take care of it.
He takes money from his pocket.
I think maybe you and Gloria want to get out of town for a while, take a vacation. I'll take care of that, too. Maybe you maybe shouldn't be...
Just, we're fine. Let's go.
He looks at her with a frown and nods.
I'm sorry, Gloria.
She watches as he walks away, then closes her eyes and sighs. Later, Jack is in his hotel room. He sits on the edge of the bed, then starts to walk across the room. He walks toward the door. He picks up a gun and opens the door. Doreen is standing in the doorway.
Hey.
I snuck out. Took a cab. Grandma's house smells funny.
You want to come in?
She steps inside.
Nice tattoos.
Later, he's on the phone.
I'll bring her by in the morning. Yeah, I promise. All right. Good night. Your mother's a little upset.
Is her idea to call her?
Listen, I don't mind. She cares about you. She loves you. It's pretty special. Listen, you got one mother, right? It's a little scary place out there, so I don't blame her. You must be a little tired. I tell you what, why don't you take the bed? I got a lot of work to do in the other room, and I'll take you home in the morning, okay?
Doreen nods.
It's gonna be all right, really.
He pats her on the hand, and they stand. Later in the other room, he takes aspirin and a sip of water. Shortly after, he's watching the videotape from the bar. He walks into the bathroom and pulls a round magnification mirror from the wall. He holds it up to the TV screen as the video is paused where Geraldine is with Richie. He examines it closely and sees that she's handing him something round and shiny, like a compact disc. Later, he gets dressed, wearing cufflinks with the initials JC. He buttons a crisp white shirt. He loads a cartridge into his pistol. Later, he walks into an elevator lobby at the hotel. Geraldine is sitting on a couch wearing a long dark wig, and she looks up at him.
I was coming for you.
Bet you didn't know you had a fairy godmother, Jack.
She stands.
You gave my brother a disc. What was on it?
Fairy godmother, all of your own.
He pulls off her wig.
Don't play me, Geraldine, all right? No more games. No more dress up, you understand?
He pulls her closer.
You gave my brother a disc. What was on it?
I don't know what you...
I'll tell you something. If you lie to me, I'm gonna break every... Listen to me. I'm gonna break every beautiful bone in your body.
I'm not lying to you. I'm just here because he wanted to see you.
Who?
She pulls away from him.
The Demon King. He wanted to speak to you, so he made some calls, and he waved his magic wand, and... poof.
Later, they walk into an office where a man swings a golf club, and the ball hits a black china ginger jar.
Shoot! Oh.
Jeremy runs up, smiling.
Sorry. Hell of a day you had, huh, Mr. Carter? Sorry to get you up so early. Personally, I hate mornings.
He holds up some cash. Geraldine takes it from him, then starts to leave. But Jack grabs her arm.
Where are you going?
She's done her job. She doesn't need to hear this.
She walks out. A large, muscular man is standing behind a bar.
Oh, don't worry about Jimmy. He's more here for decoration.
Jack nods.
Hey, you want a cappuccino or something? He makes a really mean froth.
Use non-fat milk.
Thanks. But I'm lactose intolerant. What?
Jimmy, could you show our friend down to her car?
Jimmy walks out.
Thanks.
Cute guy.
You think?
Jeremy smiles.
No.
His smile fades and he puts down his golf club.
I had my 30th birthday last month.
He picks up a remote-controlled Jeep and starts to play with it.
I'm worth about $900 million. I'm in Newsweek and Forbes in the same month. I'm the all-powerful ruler of time and space, Mr. Carter. And your friend, Cyrus?
He smashes it into a decorative brass urn.
The porn guy? He's coming to me with threats of going public. Messing up my image.
He keeps playing with the Jeep as Jack steps closer to him. Jack grabs the remote control, pushes its antenna against Jeremy's stomach, and Jeremy winces.
Okay, awkward moment.
Jack stares at him soberly.
Look, I've never really done this before, but, I figure you probably have, so here goes. I understand there was quite a fuss the other night over at the George.
Richie is pushed to the ground.
Your brother Richard's name was mentioned. Cyrus goes out with some very bad guys. And when he comes back...
Liquor is dumped over his weak body.
Your brother's gone.
Jack looks away.
You see what I'm saying, Mr. Carter? I think we both want the same thing.
Who do you think you're funning with?
Jack walks out of Jeremy's Mindfield office building and hails a cab.
Come on, come on.
He gets in one, and it pulls away. Inside the cab, the driver looks out of a rainy windshield. Jack answers his cell phone.
Yeah?
Where are you?
What do you want?
What do I want? What do I want?
Fletcher watches Audrey listen to his conversation.
Talk! I said talk.
Jack.
Tell him! Khan tells me you're doing my woman behind my back. Now tell me Khan's lying. Tell me that, Jack.
He is lying.
Your name Jack all of a sudden? I love this woman, Jack, and I'm thinking about killing her. I don't even like you, Carter, so you don't want to know what I'm thinking about doing to you.
You're a real tough guy on the phone. Audrey, you gotta get out of there. Go on. He won't touch you.
Well, I won't touch her, huh? I won't touch her.
Jack, please.
If you do not, shut up.
Audrey, what do you want to do? I'm here for you.
Jack, are you pathetic? Go ahead. Tell him, Audrey. What do you want to do?
Audrey, what do you want to do?
You listening, lover boy?
Yeah.
You getting it?
Les, listen to me. I'm out of Vegas, understand? It ends here.
It ends when I say it ends.
Jack hangs up. Shortly after, the cab pulls up to Gloria's house and Jack gets out. Police tape blocks off the lawn and the front steps. Jack looks around carefully. Shortly after, he bursts into the house. He looks on a desk. Then checks some CD cases. He looks around. Then walks out of the room. He sees the cat-shaped cookie jar in the kitchen. He opens it and dumps out the cookies. A disc in a clear plastic bag falls out. He puts it into a computer and it plays on the monitor.
Come on, baby, get in it.
In the backseat of a car, Eddie sits beside two teenage girls drinking champagne. As it fast forwards, one of the girls puts her finger in the other's mouth, then flicks her tongue with her own. Jack fast forwards and sees them sit on a couch. One helps the other one off with her jacket and kisses her cheek. He fast forwards to two more women in a car with Eddie. There's more footage of women together wearing lingerie. They writhe passionately on the couch. In some of the shots, Eddie joins them. Two more women get in a car with Eddie, taking turns sipping champagne. One of the girls is Doreen.
Party.
More footage shows her at Eddie's with a woman in a black bra and panties. Doreen staggers as the woman tries to take her coat off with Eddie standing next to them.
Yeah, baby, that's it.
Jack looks away for a moment.
No.
More images show Doreen's and Eddie's face.
I need to leave.
Jack grabs a set of car keys and drives off in an old Ford Mustang. With his collar loosened and his head down, he walks into his hotel. An elevator opens and he and a woman step inside. He presses a button and the doors start to close. Two men in leather jackets stop the doors from closing and step inside. It's Connie and another man. They stand on the opposite side of the elevator facing Jack, the woman between them facing forward. The doors close.
Jack, what do you say, Jack?
Connie opens his jacket, revealing the gun in his waistband.
You pick me a winner today, huh? Did you come up with a sure thing?
Jack imagines Connie pulling his gun and firing. Jack takes off his sunglasses and stares at Connie.
It's a bad time, Con.
What are you telling me? You remember Peter, don't you?
Jack looks at the man with Connie. He imagines grabbing Peter's head and Connie aiming the gun at him.
Jack! No! No, Jack!
But they're all still standing calmly in the same position.
Say, Jack, when I said you take care of the business or the business will take care of you, did we have a bad connection on the cell? Maybe you weren't listening?
The woman looks from Connie to Jack.
Hey, sport, I was real sorry to hear about you and Audrey. What are you going to do? He's the big dog. There's no way around that. He gets the girl, Jack.
Jack glares at him.
You get what you get.
Moving only her eyes, the woman continues to watch the man. She steps off the elevator. Jack punches Connie in the stomach. Peter starts to hit Jack, but Jack hits his throat, then elbows him in the chest. Connie has his gun out, and Jack grabs his wrist, then bites his hand. He drops the gun, and Jack throws him against the wall, then punches him in the face. When he falls to the floor, Jack kicks him over and over. When the doors open, Jack picks up the gun and his sunglasses, walks out, and puts the gun in a trash can. Connie and Peter are knocked out on the elevator floor. Jack goes to his room, steps inside, and puts his hand to his temple.
Doreen?
He looks further into the room and checks his fingers for blood from his face. He picks up a note that reads, "Went out to the roof, Doreen." Shortly after, he looks through an open window onto the roof. Doreen is smoking a cigarette on a corner ledge near a stone statue. He climbs out the window and walks down a set of wooden stairs. He walks across the roof to her and puts his hands in his pockets.
Hey.
Hey.
She smiles and throws her cigarette over the ledge.
I saw that.
God.
He paces in front of her.
What happened to your face?
A couple guys jumped me on the elevator on the way up.
Really?
I slipped, you know. It happens sometimes when you get older, you know. Your ticket for your Mustang, you know. I got it downstairs. You probably should be getting back now.
What are you going to do?
Like, you know, I'm going to be taking off today.
Why?
Yeah. It just worked out that way.
Good?
For a while.
He stands next to her.
Doreen, before I go, I just want to tell you, I think you're a special girl. I mean that. 48 hours. I can see that. Hey. Things happen to us, Doreen. You know, we make mistakes. We fall down. We get into trouble. It happens to everybody. It does. But it doesn't mean, you know, everything that happened yesterday has to happen every day. It doesn't. You don't want to do it like me and spend your whole life looking backwards. You know what it is with this? We can't change your history. We can't do that. I mean, but you can go past it. Just break past it. Yep, you know, up ahead, it's all new. You know, it's new, it's yours if you want it. I gotta tell you that your mother loves you. No matter what you think, she loves you. Maybe you got things you have to talk to her about, or some problems, whatever. You should talk to her, she'll listen.
She looks at him then looks down.
I don't know what happened. He worked with Dad. He was always really nice. I thought it was gonna be cool. Fun, you know? We had some champagne, and he asked if I wanted to go to this party. Should have seen my friends' faces. I don't even remember what happened. I just remember not being able to move much. I remember wanting to leave, wanting to stop, wanting to go home.
Her chin quivers, and Jack rubs his nose as tears well up in his eyes.
This is your fault.
He hugs her and she sobs.
You gotta believe that. No. None of this is your fault. None of it.
Jack walks out of the hotel, gives the valet his parking stub, and looks up at the sky, breathing heavily.
Yeah?
Jack?
Who is this?
It's Geraldine. Look, I didn't know she was Richie's daughter. When I found out who she was, I got the disc to Richie right away. I didn't know what he'd do with it.
Jack runs to Geraldine's building.
He went to them, and he said he was taking the disc to the cops.
He kicks in her door.
Cyrus knows I gave him the disc.
He runs through her apartment.
He's on his way here. He's coming over now, Jack. I didn't know who to call. I was just... I'm sorry.
He finds her dead with a needle in her arm.
I'm so sorry.
At the George.
Where's Eddie?
He's not working today.
Where's he live?
Oh, what's going on?
Where's he live?
Jack. Will you listen to me for just a minute? I've been in it all my life on both sides of the ocean. And I'm telling you this, if you get mixed up in whatever it was your brother was into, you've got a pretty good chance of winding up exactly the same as he did. And those two ladies are going to have to go into mourning all over again. Now, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you this. Getting yourself killed won't bring Richie back. Revenge doesn't work.
Sure it does.
Later, Jack is putting on black driving gloves as he walks up a dark stairwell. In Eddie's apartment, he knocks him around.
Wait! They knew what they were getting themselves into!
He slaps Eddie down.
Probably was Cyrus's deal, man! He probably killed your brother!
They walk out to a balcony.
It wasn't flipping me! He's at some stupid party right now! At some flaming fencing club or something with Camille, right? I was just playing around.
Jack glares at him.
Go get them, man. I don't...
Jack puts his hand up.
I'm having a real hard time understanding this today. What could she have done to you that was so bad that you'd want to do this to her? Because what you did doesn't go away. She trusted you. And you raped her. She was my brother's daughter. My family. It is my fault.
He backs Eddie against a wall.
Because if I had been here, this never would have gone down. So now I gotta make it right. I gotta do that. I mean, what would you do if it was your daughter?
Jack, don't kill me, man.
You killed yourself.
Shortly after, Jack walks out of the building and throws the gloves in a trash can. Eddie's body lies face down on top of a car, its alarm going off. Jack walks to his car in the rain. Another car pulls up behind him.
Jack, stop! Hey! Hey! Jack!
Connie shot out his back window.
Get him! Go! Go! Go!
Jack speeds off, and Connie and Peter follow, the tail end of their Jaguar fishtailing and hitting another car. They pass a group of people doing Tai Chi on the sidewalk.
Jack!
They pull alongside Jack, and Connie aims at him.
Jack, stop!
Jack slams on the brakes and the Jaguar speeds past him. Jack turns down an alley with the Jaguar on his tail. He drives over a pile of trash, crosses a street, and goes down another alley.
Stop, man!
He plows through more trash and comes out onto a street. Connie shoots out the window at him. Jack turns and skids across a sidewalk corner and back onto the street. People run out of his way as he swerves down the road.
Don't lose him!
The Jaguar speeds through an intersection, causing the car to smash into a truck. Jack races down a hill, and Peter stays with him. Connie aims, and Jack slams on the brakes again and skids in front of another car.
Just get on him!
They speed under an overpass.
You fight, son of a-
Connie shoots and hits Jack's bumper. Peter bumps into a car in front of him, then keeps going. Connie aims at Jack again. And Jack swerves to the side of a station wagon being towed, and Peter is forced to the other side of it. Jack slams into the station wagon, which pushes the Jaguar against the steel girder.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Connie's face is bloody and bruised. Peter backs up and keeps driving. Jack pulls out from under the overpass, skids in a puddle, then stops and waits. Peter continues under the overpass.
Where is he?
The path ahead of them is clear. Then Jack slams on the gas.
Oh, man, Jack! There you go!
He heads straight for them.
Don't turn! Is this what you want?
Connie leans out the window with a gun. As they get closer, Peter swerves out of the way. The Jaguar flies over a sidewalk and hits a street sign in front of a cafe. It lands on a staircase that leads below ground. Jack drives up. Stops. And looks at the car on its side. Before he keeps driving. Later, he parks on a suburban street. He walks up to a gate that stands in front of a huge mansion. Jimmy is standing at the gate.
Sorry, Mr. Carson. You're not on the list.
Jack knocks him down with one punch.
Nobody likes the list guy.
He walks into the house where teenagers are dancing and drinking. A woman in a short skirt is walking with a tray of drinks. He sees Jeremy on the phone in the next room.
Hey. Can I help you with something?
Cyrus, please tell me to call.
I don't think so.
Jeremy Kinnear.
He watches Jeremy.
Look, Mr. Phone Guy, do you have any idea who I am?
I'm going to buy your stupid hotel just so I can fire you.
Now, I want to talk to Mr. Fletcher. Les Fletcher.
Jack walks toward him.
Oh, you listen to me, you little neophyte toady. I am in the middle of a party here. I should not be having to deal with this. Now put me through to your boss.
Cyrus leads two young girls out of the room.
It's your responsibility.
Jack follows them.
Come on.
Cyrus turns to the girls.
Listen, why don't you girls go in the back room and I'll meet you back there in a minute. I got some business to take care of.
Cyrus takes off his jacket and hands it to one of them. Wearing sunglasses and a tank top, he turns and faces Jack.
Did you know who she was?
Excuse me?
Did you know she was my blood?
Jack, we're gonna go through this damn little dance again. Huh? Go ahead. Take out your gun, Jack. Take out your gun in front of all these people here. Put one right between my eyes.
Cyrus took off his glasses.
I don't think you can handle jail the rest of your life, Jack. So I want to tell you something, Slick. The man you want is that little piss-ass Kinnear. Him the old guy, so stop breaking my balls, all right? I want that businessman just trying to stay afloat, just like you.
You're nothing like me.
Excuse me, wait a minute, Jack. All of a sudden you care? All of a sudden, what are you, some kind of good guy? Hmm? Hey, you're the bad brother, remember?
I know who I am.
Yeah. Well, Jack, listen, I would love to sit here and jaw with you, but I gotta get back to the town. So.
He turns away.
Hey, Jack, let it go.
Cyrus rubs his chin, nods, and walks away. Jack runs after him and swings, but Cyrus ducks. Jack flies through a glass door. As he tries to get up, Cyrus punches him.
Come on, Jack, let's see what you got.
Jack stands and they square off. Jack blocks two punches. Then Cyrus starts punching his face. Jack comes weakly toward him.
Hey, hey, Jack. Come on.
Cyrus hits him again, and he drops to the floor.
God, Jack. His little brother put up a better fight than he did.
From the floor, Jack watches Cyrus walk out of the room. At the party, colored lights flash over a dance floor. Cyrus is dancing with a young girl. With a bloody face, Jack walks down a set of stairs toward the dance floor. Cyrus smokes a cigarette as the girl puts her arms around him. With blood dripping down his face, Jack spots him. In slow motion, people are dancing around him as he walks slowly through the crowd. As he approaches, he imagines his brother being killed. He moves closer, keeping his eye on Cyrus. He imagines Richie's bloody face. Cyrus kisses his dance partner.
Come on!
He pictures Doreen in the video and Richie's murder. Jack walks up behind Cyrus, and Cyrus turns around and looks at him. Several of the dancers stare at Jack's bloody face.
You should finish when you start.
Yeah. Hey, you should fix your tie a little bit there. Have a good time.
Cyrus turns away, then spins around and throws a punch, but Jack blocks it. Jack punches him in the face and he hits the floor. Jack crouches over him and he punches him over and over again. Blood splatters all over the dance floor.
Where is it, Richie?
Jack pictures his brother alternately with a video of Doreen. He punches Cyrus again. Jack takes out a gun and cocks it with his bloody hand. In slow motion, he brings it to Cyrus's cheek and grits his teeth. Jeremy is sitting on a leather couch surrounded by three girls.
You got a car?
Jack has a bottle of liquor.
Let's take a ride.
He grabs Jeremy by the shirt. Later, Jack is driving a Rolls Royce with Jeremy beside him. It's dark and raining, and Jeremy's hands are tied as Jack scowls at the road ahead of them.
Where are we going, Mr. Carter?
Jack turns off the headlights.
Hey, slow down! Turn the lights back on, please.
Come on, shut the door.
I didn't do it.
He imagines Richie slumped against a steering wheel and looks over at Jeremy.
Will you slow down, please? You're gonna kill us.
He turns the headlights back off.
Please! Okay, what do you want, Mr. Carter? You want a clean slate? Just give me 5 minutes in front of a laptop. Please slow down, you're gonna kill us!
What's the point, Jeremy?
They speed along the dark road and Jack pictures Richie's bloody face. The bottle of liquor rolls on the seat next to Jack.
Okay, you want money? You want money? Just name your price. I've got more money than God.
You need a drink.
He imagines Richie's car slamming into a tree. He stops the car and gets out with the bottle. He walks to the front of the car and waves the bottle in front of the windshield. He pulls Jeremy to the front of the car by his throat.
It's okay. It's all right, Jeremy.
He puts him in a headlock.
Is this how you did it to Richie, huh?
He uncorks the bottle.
Is this how you did it, Jeremy, huh?
He pours it over his head.
You think he screamed too? You like it?
I didn't kill your brother, Mr. Carter.
Jack pushes him away and pictures Richie as liquor is being poured on him.
Get up.
Mr. Carter, this is...
Get up.
You're making a mistake.
Move.
Please, listen to me. You're making a mistake here. Cyrus told me that your brother was going to go to the police with this disc. And he said if he went down, I'd go down, okay? I didn't know what to do, Mr. Carter.
Jack pushes him further into the woods.
So you had him killed?
No. I just said to him to get the disc back. That's all. I swear to you, I had nothing to do with it. I swear to you, I just told Cyrus to go and get the disc. I told him to get the disc and that our business together would be over. That's all. Mr. Carter, I swear to you, I didn't do anything. I didn't kill him, Mr. Carter. Please believe me. He said if I said anything, he would ruin me. And then you came along and... Please, Mr. Carter. Please, it was Cyrus. He killed your brother and Geraldine, not me. He said he was working with some guy. It was them. They did it.
No more talking.
Jeremy is on the ground and Jack walks to him.
Turn around.
Please, no.
Turn around.
No.
You're a man for once in your life.
Jack holds the gun to the back of his head. He shoots the ground near Jeremy as Jeremy sobs, drool dripping from his dirty face. Jack lowers the gun and leans close to him.
I'm going to do something for you. Nobody ever did for me. I want to give you a second chance. Please don't make me come back.
No. I won't, Mr. Carter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I promise I won't make you come. Thank you.
Jack walks away. Later, he's in the hotel parking garage with a bag. He checks a key rack, but his key isn't there.
Hey. Hey, what are you doing?
He sees a man leaning into his car. It's Brumby, and he has the disc.
Sorry, Jack. I don't usually get my hands dirty, but I checked your room. And there was nothing there.
He puts it in his pocket.
So, listen, about this Doreen thing. She'll be all right, I think. Kids are resilient, you know. And this thing with Richie, I mean, God, that was bloody awful. I don't know what Cyrus was thinking, but a man's got to make a living. I tried to keep you out of it, but you insisted on this post facto Big Brother thing. So I figured if I left enough dangling, you would find my disc for me. What a mess, eh? All over a shiny piece of plastic. Listen.
He takes out the disc.
I'll get rid of the disc. You seem to have got rid of everything else, so...
Jack drops his bag.
You may have hardware concealed about your person. But remember, you kill me, you'll be on the run for the rest of your life. It's been nice knowing you, Jack.
Brumby taps him with the disc and walks away.
Brumby!
I'm not turning around.
Suit yourself.
Brumby drops to the ground. Later, Doreen is at her father's grave. She bows her head and wipes her tears as Jack pulls up. She stands as he walks toward her.
Uncle Jack.
Your mother told me I'd find you here.
I thought you were gone.
I am gone. I just wanted to come by. Say goodbye to you face to face.
He's clean shaven.
What happened to your beard thing?
Mother. Well, I thought it would be time for a change. I just get rid of it.
Again?
She touches a cut on his face.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I fell down. I gotta get new shoes.
We're gonna be okay, you know. Mom and me.
I know.
Thanks for being here. It meant a lot to Dad, you know.
He's a good man.
Yeah. Guess you gotta go, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember when I said you're special? You better remember that, or you're gonna have a big problem with me, okay?
He hugs her tightly.
Yourself to me.
You too.
She watches him walk away.
Hey.
He turns to her.
I like the new look.
He rubs his face and smiles.
You know what fella's good? You know what fella's good for the hula?
He gets in the car and takes a road map from the glove compartment. Las Vegas is circled, and he drives away in fast motion. You know what fella's good?